News Network.
It's time for real news
without the spin.
The only place you'll find it is at TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Here's your political ringmaster,
your host,
Dan Newman.
I just crawled off my bicycle after a 12-mile ride. Lots of think time when I'm in the saddle. And I thought through some things that I wasn't really prepared to bring to you, but I think it may be timely. I thought it through, and let's go. Let me ask you a question. What if political parties just disappeared? Let me ask it again. What if political parties just disappeared? I want you to think through this with me today. Yes, it really is a hot topic. And controversial, too. But certainly with all the bad news that comes with stories tied to animus between Republicans and Democrats, the general public's mostly distasteful opinions of political parties, at some point, you have thought, wouldn't we better off without them? You know what? I think that way, and if you think with me, we may be onto something. Let's begin here. Do we really need political parties? You know how they got started? Back when Congress was invented by our forefathers, it was split into two houses. One was called the People's House, the House of Representatives. One was called the U.S. Senate, and that represented the states. At that time, governors appointed senators. They were not elected. And the reason they were appointed for a six-year term was because that would give them plenty of time to get comfortable with doing the state's business and representing the states and let them stay there a little bit longer. The reason members of the House of Congress only served 2 years, these were the people. They actually were everyday working people from different communities that temporarily gave up their jobs, went to D.C. to represent the local community for a couple of years. Then they would go back to their jobs, their communities, and be replaced by other citizens from on the street. And at some point, somebody got the idea that, you know, these people really don't have time or money to do everything they need to do to get their stories out. They're for 2 years supposed to be in Washington, D.C., up there governing. They don't have time to talk to the members of the community, to run for office, to have meetings, do all those kinds of things. Of course, there was no electronic media then. Same thing for the Senate. When the Senate and the House members got together and said, we kind of like the idea of being elected by the people, and doing so, we're going to have to campaign. So we need some assistance. They invented political parties, and there had been political parties in Europe where they came from. So it wasn't a new concept to them back there. They didn't really like it, but guess who invented it for the United States? Politicians. Do we really need parties? Need is the operative word for this part of this discussion. There's no doubt that political parties are not necessary for the U.S., or for that matter, any democratic country. But just like most other things, if structured, implemented, and operated in the manner in which from their concept they were created to be, there is good that can come from political parties. But sadly, their usefulness here has eroded away, primarily because of bitterness and the unwillingness to consider the opinions of others who have opposing views. All that most Americans see from the party with which they most closely identify and the opposing party are jabs and extreme disagreements with the other. Very little good seems to show in news reports regarding those opinions of one party's members about the other party members' opinions, and very seldom is agreement reached anymore. The principal author of the U.S. Constitution, who was it? You know, Thomas Jefferson. He had much to say about political parties. It wasn't all good, but it wasn't all bad either. Like, quote, "I never submitted the whole system of my opinions to the creed of any party of men, whatever, in religion, in philosophy, in politics, or in anything else, where I was capable of thinking for myself. Such an addiction is the last degradation of a free and moral agent. If I could not go to heaven but with a party, I would not go there at all. Wow. When making that statement, it seems to me that the former president was a little put out with political parties at the time he made that statement. But that wasn't always the case. Quote Thomas Jefferson again, "Both of our political parties, at least the honest portion of them, agree conscientiously in the same object, the public good. But they differ essentially in what they deem the means of promoting that good. One side believes it best done by one composition of the governing powers, the other by a different one. One fears most the ignorance of the people, the other the selfishness of rulers independent of the people. Which is right? Time and experience will prove. We think that one side of this experiment has been long enough tried and proved not to promote the good of the many, and that the other has not been fairly and sufficiently tried. Our opponents think the reverse. With whichever opinion the body of the nation concurs, that must prevail." His question, which is right, time and experience will prove, he asked that in the 1700s, and it still hasn't been proven which one is right. My question today, even with Jefferson's thoughts that political parties can have good results and be good for the American political process, do you believe they are good today and are achieving positive results? I'm not certain. Why? They have become, they being political parties, another arm of power in the political system and have perpetuated the growth and power of the deep state or the Washington establishment, whatever you want to call it. Both Democrats and Republicans have stoked that fire, and contrary to what Jefferson hoped, the fire is not that of unity and amicable conversation and debate of differences, but it became nothing more than derision, anger, and even hatred for members of the opposite party and their ideas. Too often we see and hear GOP and Democrat Party leaders attack the leadership of the other party and even express disdain for opposing party rank-and-file members. In Jefferson's day, Tories and Whigs were the prominent parties, imaging today's Democrat and Republican parties. There certainly were marked political differences between the two that often grew to be less civil and more confrontational. But the political intentions of members of those two parties almost always resulted in resolution of differences after the sometimes bitter debate. Often that resolution was simply an understanding the two would never agree on certain issues, so they would just agree not to agree. But it almost always ended with understanding and some respect for the other's opinion, even after disagreements. Today, such resolution is not likely at all. As far as I know, it's hardly ever, if ever, on the table for conversation. And that's why an answer to this question is so important. Should we end formal political parties? Should we end political parties as we know them? I've got some specific thoughts. And we're going to look at what it might look like without political parties. Sit tight. Back in a moment at the Truth News Network.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Celebrate 40 years of karaoke. Subway and Coke bring you the sweet onion chicken teriyaki deal. Take it away.
Sweet onion chicken teriyaki. And an ice cold Coke, too. You know it only costs $2.99.
For a chance to win £1,000 or even sing our next ad, go to valueworthsinginabout.com. Subway, eat fresh. Participation and prices may vary.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every news story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
And today we are being relevant. We're asking a hypothetical question. We're looking for answers, too. Would America accept death to political parties and the political landscape? What would it look like without political parties? That hypothetical brings a myriad of opinions. Let's examine a few of those about the look of politics without parties. Think about it. No Republicans, no Democrats. With no political parties, there would be, one, no party conventions. There would be no need for them. Two, individualism and thoughts and ideas from individual candidates, no party platforms, no consensus on a national basis. Everybody would look at their politicians running for office at the local, the state, and the federal levels. Three, with no political parties, there would be political debates, at least as vigorous as there is today, but there would be intense pressure for a public resolution of each candidate's policy stances for the purpose of clarity for voters. You know, often, even when I go in the voting booth, right before I go in, I say, now, what did this guy say about this? And what did this woman say about that? It's unclear. Without political parties, there's no kind of unanimous policy. Everybody's going to have to know. And that means they're going to have to get in our faces. Number four, candidates would be more engaged in actual contact with voters rather than relying on party promotion and campaigning. Five, issues would be more clearly defined by candidates in order to woo voters for their support. Six, national campaigns would be more voter issue based because candidates without parties would be forced to be clearer regarding issues so as to differentiate their views from their opponents' views. Seven, campaign dollars would be more realistic and more localized and regionalized rather than parties commingled national dollars to impact local and state elections. In the past few elections, we've seen it happen where for a special congressional election in some small district in a state on the East Coast, there would be millions of dollars piped into that state for that congressional district from states far away who really don't have a dog in that hunt, literally, just to send dollars based upon what the national party's position is and the need and the desire for that national party to win that seat. Number eight, voters would be more engaged with candidates and voting issues than now when candidates, because of party support in dollars and cents, rely on party positions rather than their own. Of course, issues would still be in existence, many of which would always be controversial and always be hotly debated. Of course, sitting members of the electorate would still be able to weigh in with their support for candidates and their policies just as they do now with endorsements. The difference would be that support would almost totally be policy and issue driven rather than purely politically driven, which is an interesting twist. Speaking of campaign dollars, how would they support and how would that support change? Campaign finance would have to be addressed and certainly revised. Without national parties, individual candidates would be forced to draw financial support on their own. One would think that without parties to raise dollars, the allowed sources of campaign funding would necessarily have to be drastically regulated beyond the current restrictions. But they almost certainly would be more easily structured because of the termination of concerns of campaign abuse that is now quite often a product of national party fundraising. We could spend a lot of time pointing out specific examples of that in the past decade and even longer. Local and state campaigning would certainly be without the current rash of out-of-state funding through national parties to impact local and state elections. Elections would be driven by local and state support, both in campaign structure, local actual voting results, and in dollars. Where I live, in the last local campaign cycle, a district attorney election received a large contribution from out of state, from George Soros. One of his not-for-profits made a contribution to a Democrat running for district attorney in a local district in which George Soros has no property, no place whatsoever in the district, has never been here to my knowledge, but it was an effort on a national level to impact a local district election for political party purpose only. Would Americans accept death to parties if it were to happen? That's a tough one to answer. First, the establishment, not just one, but both Democrat and Republican, would fight tooth and nail to keep the party process alive. Why? Not so much because party leadership feels having two parties is the best scenario in which to operate American elections, at least on behalf of their constituents, but because there is so much money and control in American politics through the political party system. Billions of dollars, yes, billions, flow through party and candidate coffers during every national election cycle. Naturally, a piece of those billions falls into party treasuries for whatever leaders in those parties determine to direct those dollars to. Additionally, each party has massive overhead in physical locations, buildings, offices, administrative staff, year-round, and staffing state and even local offices during campaign time. And campaign time is almost perpetual now, for there are national races every 2 years, and state and local elections most years in between. And of course, with retirement and death, there are special elections on the federal election level all the time. Elections in America have become really big business. When one realizes the number of campaign dollars that flow through parties and the impact at federal, state, and local levels, it's easy to understand why the fight would be staggering if the decision was made to end national political parties. Remember this: power and money drive all political concerns, policies, and issues almost exclusively. If not last on the list of importance to this election process for party members, voter concerns regarding election issues are way down the list. That fact alone should drive a serious conversation about possible elimination of national parties. Parties are not the best thing for voters. I haven't heard many conversations anywhere about the possible elimination of national parties, have you? Until now. I think I maybe have started something here. We certainly will not hear any such conversation from the parties themselves, that's for sure. But that discussion is about as old as the structure of American political parties in the first place. Even the father of our nation, George Washington, had serious concerns with political parties. It's not that Washington failed to understand the contribution they make, but he was greatly concerned that they had previously and would again grow seeking more power than other groups to the detriment of the whole. Washington was aware that many viewed political parties as destructive because of the temptation to manifest and retain power, but also because they would often seek to extract revenge on their political opponents. We see political payback all the time. I could give you example after example of it right here, but you've seen and heard it yourself. Washington reviewed this to be detrimental to the young country as an entire nation back then. President Washington expresses genuine concern in that the alternate domination of one political party over another, thereby allowing one party to enjoy temporary power over the government that would use it to obtain revenge on the other. Boy, did he hit that one on the head. He felt that this tendency toward atrocities directed at the party out of power is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism, he said. Washington argued that the political parties needed to be restrained in a free country with a government empowered by the consent of the governed and established through popular elections. He didn't even like the electoral system. He thought popular votes should be the way to go. He was one of our country's leaders and founders that did not think that the Electoral College would be necessary long term. Of course, he did not know for certain that 200 years later, the coastals would have a populace far greater than all of the interior states in the country. And therefore, the Electoral College, as it was established by our forefathers, would be far more appropriate than just letting those that live in those coastal, heavily populated states control national elections. Today, we watch as political parties have been the greater contributors to the creation and perpetuation of the ruling class in D.C. Far greater. The American political process has literally evolved into a monster. Some would say I'm wrong using the word monster and would class it as a dinosaur that requires more and more from Americans to simply survive. But is it really worth it? What if we just abolish political parties at every level? Let that little box on our tax forms, you know, that we can check to pay a dollar to the presidential campaign, be the extent of any money that can be split between the top two candidates for president. What if, instead of making that optional, the IRS just took a dollar out of everybody's tax money that's paid in and put it in a fund? What if there was a second box on that form that we could check to pay $2 to be split between U.S. Senate and House of Representative candidates, between, say, the top two candidates in our congressional and Senate districts? And then what if all state and local candidates were on their own and campaigning? Don't you think that would change things? I know for a fact it would. Here's what I think would happen. Once again, Americans would see candidates forced to back away from old-time party politics and pick up issues that apply to voting constituents in their respective districts. The same would hold true for presidential campaigns. We might add one more thing for campaigning. Just thought about this. Radio and television broadcast airwaves belong to the taxpayers, and they're regulated, always have been, by the Federal Communications Commission. You hear it called FCC all the time. Currently, there are no requirements that force any television or radio stations to carry campaign ads. However, if they choose to do so, and almost every one of them without fail will do it because it's easy money during campaign election cycles. If they choose to do so, they've got to set a rate to charge for those commercials that is equal to the lowest rate for that time slot in which they run. The lowest rate that matches any other low rate to anyone else. And they must make the same time and rate available to purchase to every candidate in that election cycle. We could just make it mandatory that each broadcast station provides free of charge a certain number of commercials to each candidate on a local basis, Senate and House candidates on a national basis, and also state and local candidates. Either way, seems like it would make sense. The bottom line for this journalist is this. The current political party system is out of reason. It's just gone crazy. The only ones who do well during campaigns are sign makers, radio and television broadcasters, and political parties who use a large portion of campaign donations to fund their operations. Here's my vote. Let's make a change. Let's make a change. Let's for once let voters decide who they want in each political position without any input from national entities who, though having somewhat of a stake in each election, have no stake in how the governing by whichever candidate prevails in each election is going to impact voting constituents. They really don't care. After all, isn't the U.S. government supposed to be for the people, of the people, and by the people? After all, I've never seen anywhere in the Constitution any tagline added to that for the people, of the people, and by the people, a tagline that says, as determined by political parties. It isn't there. Let's give it a whirl. Let's do away with political parties. And you know what? If it doesn't work, and we voters change our minds, we can change it back, can't we? My two cents. Let me hear yours. Post a comment down at the bottom of this article on the homepage, or send me an email at dan@truthnewsnet.org. Should we do away with political parties? I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us every day. We love sharing all this with you. I love talking to you and love hearing from you. Be back tomorrow at the Truth News Network.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.